This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Do you think that there's a link between Muslim immigration in Europe and an increase in sexual violence towards European women?
The answer to that is yes, and there are some caveats. My latest book is called Pray, and the subtitle is Islam, Immigration, and the Erosion of the Rights of Women. The answer, my uneasy answer to this is yes. The caveat is not all Muslim men are misogynists, and not all Muslim men harass or attack women or treat them badly. But there is a minority, and that minority is considerable. And that minority of very young Muslim men have come from societies where women are viewed differently from the way they're viewed in Europe. And once they come to Europe, they start to behave in ways that are hostile to women. Sexual harassment, rapes, gang rapes, even syndicates or grooming gangs that prey on young girls. Now, what has Islam got to do with any of this? When you talk to religious leaders, Muslim religious leaders, what they say is, well, the behavior of these men is wrong, but the fact that women are around in public, uncovered and by themselves is also wrong. So then they propose solutions that are Sharia based in Europe. That's one. Number two, women are divided into those who are good and modest and those who are bad. And bad women, whether it is within Islam or within the tribal culture that some of these young men come from, women who are regarded as bad are regarded as unprotected. Unprotected meaning unprotected by male guardians. So in that sense, what you see is, and I've talked to some of these young men, Muslim men in Europe, and asked them, why is it that you can't, if you behave this way in Egypt, when you come to Germany, why do you carry on behaving this way? And a lot of them who've actually done some reflection on the differences in societies just say, they explain the differences and they say, if I behaved this way in Egypt or in Afghanistan or in Iraq, I would meet with no disapproval. The women who are targeted, they are the ones who are disapproved of because they are the ones who put themselves in trouble. And so as you can see, there's this big clash of values or clash of civilization. I don't know what you want to call it. But on the treatment of women, there definitely is a clash of values when it comes to the values of Europe versus the values of Islam.
So on. The thesis, and I'm not sure if you want to ask this as a separate question, but the thesis that McGann has put forward in her newest book, Pray, is that actually what you find is that Muslim men, the immigration of Muslim men to European countries has increased rape. This is basically it. And she mentions in page 33 of that book, she says there's an actual causal relationship. She says that there's a causal relationship. I've read her book, the entire book. And I've seen the data that she puts forward for the claims that she makes, Michaela. And she, I'm just go for the idea. The idea is that Muslim men immigration coming into European countries causes an increase in rape. That's what she is saying. Now, look, she mentions, what is the data that she mentions? She mentions data from about five European countries, including but not limited to the United Kingdom, France, and Sweden. Now, what she then states is that there's evidence for a causal relationship in page 33. What is this data missing? Michaela, this data is missing. I mean, this data has everything going for it, in fact, except for the evidence. Because this data does not even have that these men are Muslim men. And that might be a surprise and a shock to you. But this data is about where these men come from. So, for instance, she cites that these men come from Africa, from subcontinental Asia. But you will know, and I'm sure your viewers who are clever people, who have been educated at a minor level, will know that Africa is not a Muslim continent. The entire continent of Africa, there are many Muslims in it and there are many Christians in it. So the data is not conclusive. In fact, it doesn't even show anything. It just shows that people coming from Africa, there's an increase of people coming from Africa, and then there's an increase also in rape. Okay. Well, we tried the same methodology, Michaela. I actually tried the same methodology with Latin America and America, the United States of America. So people coming from Latin America, which are not Muslims, as you know, and when they go into America, the United States, there is also a correlative increase in rape. Now, we can't say just because there's a correlative increase in rape, and this is a fallacy, by the way, that therefore the causation is those people. But even if we did say that, well, Latin Americans are not Muslim. Latin Americans are Christians. And therefore, for the most part, very small Muslim minority, very, very small and negligible Muslim minority. And therefore, the whole thesis collapses. She even mentions, and she lies through omission by mentioning data from the World Health Organization. And she is a liar, by the way. She's a liar. She lied to the Dutch parliament. She lies by omission by mentioning the WHO, the only data that has that the WHO has done on rape. And she mentions certain things about Africa. Once again, there's not even a Muslim continent in its entirety, and subcontinental Asia. But what she doesn't mention is that according to the WHO, that same report that she mentions, but she omits this part, according to the WHO, that stranger rape is highest in what they call the high income areas, which is the West. So in other words, stranger rape is highest in Europe, or if you want to generalize, Europe and America and Canada, where you're from. So wait a minute, what's going on here? The whole thesis starts to be destroyed. And of course, as I've said to you before, and I'll say to you again, Islam prohibits premarital engagements between men and women. How on earth can you get a thesis that says Islam, and she mentions the word cause, and it's a fallacy, causes an increase in rape for Muslim men to non-Muslim women, where Islam limits it to the highest level? Stranger rape, funny enough, according to the WHO, is lowest in areas which are most populated by Muslim people, like the subcontinental area. And of course, they say that's because of the cultural reasons of a woman coming out and all that kind of thing. That's their analysis, but that's not their data. Furthermore, if it was to do with the jurisprudence, then we know that Orthodox Jews have a very similar, if not more strict, way more strict, kind of jurisprudential tradition when it comes to the interaction of men and women. However, I will tell you, Michaela, despite that being the case, we don't see that that is causing any rape within Jewish communities or Jewish men doing that to non-Jewish women. She mentions in her one of her interviews that she does, she says that therefore Muslim people need to be made be taught how to be egalitarian. We believe in a complementarian system where there's a managerial hierarchy and the man's at the head of it. We do believe in that, Michaela. We're not going to lie to you. In the households, that's the only way we can do it. However, she's saying, no, she's trying to impose a feminist narrative, which you should be opposed to and your father is already opposed to, which she says that she's trying to, that men that are coming in from abroad should now be kind of vetted by being told that they need to believe in the egalitarian family system. Now, if that's the case, that's not going to happen with just Muslims. That should also happen with Christians with traditional conservative values, and it can happen with Jews as well. And if that's the case, now, this is a kind of corrosive restriction on human freedom, which is unusual. It's a creeping in of collectivist discourse, and it's very unusual because in other places, she denies that she's a collectivist. In summary, therefore, I will say that the thesis is most pathetic, and it is most rejected. It cannot be, and it has already been refuted, by the way, by many, many academics. But for example, Jill Filipovich, who's recently written a comprehensive refutation of this nonsense that this miserable specimen of an academic charlatan has written forward, and for some reason is being taken seriously by people. But it cannot be taken seriously by people. This is basically, let me show you something, Michaela, since we're on the topic. It's basically a rehashing of the Jewish discourses. As you can see here, the fascistic Jewish, the Jewish problem. You see the white woman there and then the Jewish man. Can you see this kind of thing? Can you see it? I'm not sure if you can see that. This is the kind of thing before. I'm not sure if you can see that or not.
A little bit closer would probably be better.
Can you put that a bit closer, please? But this is the kind of newspaper article where the Jewish problem, the white woman, there's the prize, and all the people, the Jewish man there, bring it back a bit, bring it back. Bring it. Can you see it?
Wait.
Just tilt it forward a bit. Like that. Can you see it? There's a
white woman there
and a Jewish man on the side. This is before what happened, the pogroms and whatever happened. This is the discourse. She's just rehashing a fascistic discourse. And being academics and clever people, we should, I'm sure people in the neoconservative movement or the alt-right or whoever it is in America and in the West will be able to see this for what it is. It's nonsense. It's academically redundant. And it is the most ridiculous thesis I've ever seen in my life by someone who has no peer-reviewed work and should not be taken seriously by anybody.